You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Maligan Institute of Medical Research has stated that they support measures to simplify the approval of medical gene therapies in Aotearoa, and that the government's gene tech bill should address the need for access to these treatments. I spoke to Dr. Rob Winecove from the Institute about the therapies and whether it needs to be easier to receive approval for them in Aotearoa.
Do we be able to just have a quick rundown about what medical gene therapies are used for and how prevalent are they in Aotearoa, New Zealand?
Medical gene therapies are becoming more and more common overseas, and there's now a number, I think we're looking at more than 30 approved medical gene therapies. None of them are approved and funded in New Zealand yet, so they're not being used at the moment outside of clinical trials. But there are New Zealanders who are getting them in clinical trials, including the trials that we're running for patients with advanced blood cancers here at the Maligan Institute. And also, some patients are travelling overseas to access medical gene therapies and then returning to New Zealand after that. So there are New Zealanders that have received these in our community and have having some of their aftercare delivered in New Zealand settings. So what are they used for? So they're used for a few things. So I'm a hematologist, a blood specialist, and one way that they're used is to treat certain blood cancers. And what we do for that is that we take patients' own immune cells, a type of their immune cell called the T cell, and these are genetically modified in the laboratory to give them a new receptor. And that basically allows these immune cells to now recognize the patient's own tumor as foreign. And this treatment is now no longer particularly new. The first treatments of this type were approved in the United States in 2019, and they've now become a standard of care in many countries. So they're funded publicly in Australia and the UK and many European countries and some countries in Asia, although they're not yet funded or widely available here in New Zealand. And these are typically used for patients who've got very advanced blood cancers, who've been through conventional treatments like chemotherapy and radiotherapy, and that's failed, and this is used as a treatment in that kind of setting. So relatively small numbers of patients who often have had a lot of treatments before, and the importance there is that for some of these conditions, these medical gene therapies are of curative potential. So we have 5, 6, 7, 8 year follow-up from a number of the earlier clinical trials, and it does appear that for some types of blood cancer, they can be curative in people who've exhausted all other treatment options. And there are other things that medical gene therapies are used for, and these at the moment are typically for fairly rare conditions. So conditions such as hemophilia, which is a hereditary bleeding disorder where patients can't make the clotting factors that allow their blood to clot. And there are medical gene therapies that allow their liver cells to make this clotting factor again and avoid need for regular intravenous injections of clotting factors or similar medications. They're also used to treat some other blood disorders like sickle cell disease and some rare, what we call metabolic conditions, which is conditions where the body lacks the ability to break down certain chemicals. They can be life-saving in that setting. So we are seeing increasing numbers of medical gene therapies internationally. As I say, the regulatory aspect is one thing, but of course the funding aspect is another reason why we haven't seen much of this in New Zealand yet, but it will happen more and more, we expect.
And how are these gene therapies relevant to the government's recent gene tech bill?
Yeah, we have a funny situation in New Zealand at the moment where at the moment the HASNO Act, which is a sort of Health and Safety and Hazardous Substances Act, regulates gene therapies because it has a very broad definition of what it calls genetically modified organisms. And basically that act defined genetically modified organisms in a way that didn't really anticipate medical gene treatments. So the kind of gene modified immune cells that we make aren't actually an organism. So if we make gene modified immune cells from a patient, they can't survive outside of that patient. They're not an organism. If you spilt them on the ground, they would just die immediately. So if you injected them to another person, they'd be rejected. So they're not really an organism, but nonetheless, in New Zealand law, they're classified as a GMO in the same way that a genetically modified creature or plant might be. And so we have this strange situation where some of these medical gene therapies are regulated as if they pose an environmental threat, which they can't. And it's created some odd scenarios where we've had to get approval from the Environmental Protection Authority to take the patient's own immune cells from our laboratory to the hospital site. Interestingly, once the cells are given to the patient, then they're no longer a GMO, because in New Zealand law, a human can't be a genetically modified organism by definition, even if they are. So we have a sort of slightly strange set of rules that never really anticipated this era of medical gene therapies, which is a little bit cumbersome. It leaves an environmental agency trying to assess health risks, which is not very productive in my view, because there are already very, very robust systems for evaluating health risks. That's something that's done by MedSafe for medicines, and it's done by ethics committees and a gene technology committee convened by the Health Research Council for clinical trials of medical gene therapies. So I'm quite keen that the bill sort of recognizes that medical gene therapies that don't present an environmental risk should be regulated under the existing mechanisms for all that's currently used for all medicines.
What tweaks would you make to the bill to ensure that these medical gene therapies are more accessible in Aotearoa and that there's less grey areas between, genetic modification on animals as opposed to treatment on humans?
So I'll just draw a distinction here. So the medical gene therapies that I'm talking about here, this is going to use a slightly technical term, are what we call somatic gene therapies. And that means they're making genetic changes to cells of our body, but not to cells of our germline, by which we mean it's not changing their eggs in an ovary, and it's not changing the sperm. And there is an important distinction there, because there are other ways of doing medical gene therapy, such as genetically editing embryos, that are quite a lot more contentious and raise different ethical issues and concerns, because then if you genetically edit sequences in an embryo, then that child, as they're grown up and as they become an adult, they can pass that on to their offspring. And then there is a risk that goes beyond the recipient. Now, that at the moment is forbidden in New Zealand law under a Reproductive Assisted Technologies Act from 2004. And the new gene technology bill doesn't change that. So at the moment, gene editing of embryos remains illegal in New Zealand law, as far as I'm aware. And as far as I'm aware, the proposed gene technology bill doesn't make any changes to that. It references that bill and doesn't affect it. So when I'm talking about medical gene therapies here, I'm talking about medical gene therapies that affect the recipient, but would not affect, for example, any children that they have or their offspring. These gene changes can't be passed on to another person. So what I'm keen is that the gene technology bill makes very clear about what it's intending to regulate. This new gene technology regulator is intended to be part of the EPA, the Environmental Protection Authority, and so it's best placed to evaluate environmental risks. And really, I think that's probably what the government's primarily been thinking of when it's talked about this bill, to be honest. The environmental risks are hugely pertinent to, GMO crops or GMO animals. And then a body within the EPA is well placed to do that. But when it comes to medical gene treatments that don't present an environmental risk, I'd like it to be very clear that the gene technology risk sitting in the environmental sector is not responsible for looking at health and safety for the recipients, because otherwise then we end up leading to a situation where the gene technology regulator and MedSafe and the ethics committees and the people that fund medical treatments like Pharmac all have to review the same thing, and then it's going to make things actually worse and even harder to get medical gene therapies across the line here. So I think I'd like to see a bigger distinction where the gene technology regulator can look at medical gene treatments and say, do an assessment and say, yes, this poses no environmental or public health risk. The risk is to the recipient, and then leave the existing methods in place for assessing the risk to the recipients. That's what I'd like to see. Otherwise, I worry that the costs and the timelines of getting these kinds of treatments available here will be even longer.
That was Dr. Rob Weinkobe on medical gene therapies. And we will be right back after the short break, so keep it on the B.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.